friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church, and I'm here with Diane Bell. Say hello, Diane.
Hello.
Yeah. And we're here for a Walking with Jesus podcast. We're going to have a conversation about caring for older parents. And I just want to read to you this line from Mark chapter 7, which indeed, beginning at verse 9 to 13, talks kind of Jesus is saying, well, you'd better take care of your elderly parent, aging parents. So, and it says, and he said to them, to the Pharisees, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, just making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. And of course, let's just be in prayer for a moment. Lord, and we just ask that you bless as people here and our conversation today. Help us, Lord, to have the strength and the spirit within us to properly honor parents and to extend your love to those who you have put closest to us in our lives. And just be with us this day and ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Diane, so I'm glad you're here for, you know, talking about caring for the aged and aging parents particularly. What is your story about caring for older family members?
Basically, my mom has Alzheimer's, and she was put, we were trying to remember like when this happened, because you know how time flies. She was put in a nursing home about 5 years ago. She was having a lot of issues with wandering and sundowners. And in the nursing home, she is safe. After she went in, my dad lived at home for a couple months and then said, you know what? I miss being with her. So he entered the assisted living where he was over there. He could eat with her and food was made for him. And I think it was just very, we offered to let him come live with us. And he said he would rather live over there. He always said he wanted to be a little more independent. Then I retired 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years ago in May, at the end of May. And my mother-in-law was really starting to have issues. And I was able to take her to doctor's appointments, visit her in the hospital before she passed in December.
Huh. Okay, so I counted 1, 2, 3 people that you have, you know, significant hand in their care. Well, how wonderful! Because you know what, not everybody's life has all these opportunities for showing compassion. Have you thought about that before?
No, I didn't. I just think we were blessed that the families lived close, that our parents lived close.
Yeah, and it is, and you're right. It's true. You know, most of us would have that idea that yes, I should be involved and active in as my parents age to ease and support them. But geography comes into play real big. I know that when I had a church in Bridgeport and also East Liverpool in the Ohio Valley, it seemed like everybody's kids had moved away, and they're trying to manage this from at least Columbus or Pittsburgh. And so it made a great deal of difference whether you were 2 hours away or 10 minutes by any means. But Diane, that's interesting. And also I guess I do want to just lift up that there is blessing in this, because I have met just a busload of people who wish they had their parents around to care for.
Right.
And they, you know, they would say, well, I wish I had that with all the care. And I'm just wondering, I like the sound of your spirit as you talk about what you've done. Now, what has the Holy Spirit done in your life, or how has he helped to change you as you've been caring for these aging family members?
One thing I've really noticed is patience. I am not the most patient person, as everyone who knows me will tell you. And when you're taking your parents to doctor's visits, to have tests run at the hospital, to just stopping several times on the way when you're trying to get to a destination that's only 2 hours away, but you stop twice to go to the bathroom and it involves a much larger undertaking. Or like with my mom and her Alzheimer's, taking her to a doctor's appointment. And it's almost like working with a young child sometimes, getting them, you know, come on, we're going this way. Let's go, instead of let's just go and get there. It takes a lot. It's just different. And like I said, there's patience that I really think that I've gained a lot more patience from working with them. And I know that had to come from God. That had to.
And that's fun, because oftentimes we think of patience as something, and it is something that's occurring in our head. You know, I'm going to not get aggravated. I'm going to keep a cool and calm demeanor as this is taking a long time. But in some sense, your body actually has to learn patience. Because I remember, like with my mom, I would walk so much faster and had to stop and slow down. I mean, I would just reflexively want to scurry ahead and do all this stuff, but no, actually I couldn't leave her side. So I know my body was learning patience, which is only right and good, because we are God has made us with as bodies that wherein our souls reside, and we're soul and body together, and as your whole as your muscles and bones and your reflexes learn patience right along with your mind. And you know, God wants to touch and heal all that. So was there anybody who set you a good example for caring for older persons?
My parents. When I was in elementary school, my grandpa on my mom's side died. And so my grandma and great grandma came to New Philly to live, and they actually lived in the house next door to us. And mom and dad, you know, would take care of them. For a while, they were a little more self-sufficient, but, you know, dad would mow the lawn and stuff like that. And then as their health deteriorated, I saw my mom and dad doing more and more work. You know, like when mom would cook for us, she just cooked extra, and either grandma would come over or she would take it over. And then after my grandma passed, my great-grandma was still alive, and she lived with us. She lived with us probably for about 6 months, 7 months, and she needed a lot more care as far as help to the bathroom and help out to watch TV. A funny side note, you know, this is back in the day when everybody only had one TV. My great-grandma's favorite thing to watch on TV was Big Time Wrestling.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I remember that.
And it was funny because we were not supposed to really watch that, and grandma was allowed to.
Oh, cute. Yeah. that is really funny. Well, there's some graces along the way. Wouldn't you agree? You know,
Yes. Yeah. And the other thing, Then my dad's parents, when they got older, dad was going down there frequently to help. He was there, the one they called. My uncle lives in Columbus, and so dad was the one they would call whenever they needed anything. You know, something wasn't right, they would call my dad. Mm-hmm. And so I watched him take care of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that I think that's important. I can almost speak for me and my peers growing up, gave little thought to this issue. You know, we assumed that this would be taken care of some other way. and that mom and dad would never get old or sick. And so those of my peers who saw this going on when they were younger had a great advantage. I know in the scripture Jesus was taking the Pharisees to task, it was because he was just pointing out how they have man-made rules and neglecting just the actual commands of God and the ways life is supposed to be put together. And he said, you have a system where somebody can donate a great sum to the temple and then say, well, since I donated that great sum, that was a wonderful thing, I actually don't have a financial obligation to my parents. And Jesus says, Moses said, and you violate the command of God. And those commands in the Ten Commandments are things that an ordinary human being is going to say are just and right. You know, we don't actually want to live in the world where our parents are cast aside when they're no longer useful, you know.
Oh, I know.
And so, yeah, the idea, and so not only are you being God, but you're being more authentically human. You know, you're saying this is how it is supposed to be. For I don't know how it's playing out in more recent times, but as we had some discussion in our country about long-term care, its cost, how's it supposed to be done? A lot of Asian American families would have said, what? Because the idea, it was assumed that your aging parents would move in with you. Long-term care wasn't even in their vocabulary. Yeah.
Well, I live around some Amish families, uh-huh. And we've had discussion with that. And, you know, that's what the Amish families do. The one of the children get the house and they build a little house for the parents to live in right next door, and they take care of them. Uh-huh. And that's just expected. Yes.
So, yeah, they probably would say, no, please don't tax us to pay for people's long-term care. There's a solution.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do know with mom, it would have been very difficult with Alzheimer's because, like I said, she got sundowners and at night she would just leave. You know, at least where she is, she cannot get out. It's a locked door. And that was our big fear. She would just, you know, I sleep well and she could leave and I would never hear her.
Yeah. 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 And I've had occasion myself to counsel people or just walk with people while they went from checking in on mom and dad to having them live in the house or checking in on them constantly, to needing to move them to a care center. And usually the calculus is, look, sometimes you have to do that to keep them out of trouble or pain, you know, that they can, yes. Something can happen to them that could hurt an awful lot, you know? and then of course we do get to the discussion about, is this something you're able to do? You know, at some point you can't ruin your own health doing that, and because you won't be any good to anybody else. That along with that, this is a sacred obligation. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, sorry. When I read that verse in Mark, my thought was not even so much money, but time.
Yeah.
I looked at it from the time, you know, how much time like you devote to doing things for God and how much time you devote for doing things for yourself or for other people, but how much time do you actually give and allot to your parents? Mm-hmm. How much time are you willing to spend doing that? Or are you just like, oh, the facility will take care of them or the neighbors will?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good insight. Cause I often make sure when I have like a young couple just starting out and married and getting married or something, I, as among the other 25 things we discussed, I said, have you had a good look at your parents? Because, well, first off, comically, you're likely to turn out like them anyhow. and for good and bad, you know, but also that's part of your life to take care of them as they age. And I don't know that I ever pointed out to them how much time that will take. Yeah. You can think about, you know, money obligations and just physical duties, but yeah, the time. What is there something you would say to young people about this family obligation? Because remember, the young are never thinking there.
Right. It's not, to me, I don't even know if I look at it as an obligation. Uh-huh. It's added time that I get to spend with my parents. My mom does not know me, but when I would go visit, I knew that I was there. I don't ever want to look back and say, I wish I would have spent more time. I wish, you know, I think it becomes more about looking out for me too, while I'm looking out for my mom. And her anxiety causes her to walk. And so she just walks up and down the one hallway of the facility. Oh, okay. And I just hold her hand and we just walk. Uh-huh. And I know, and I just ramble on and tell her whatever I need to tell her. And like I said, she doesn't know, but I know that I was there. I know that I visited. Uh-huh. And I don't know, there's a comfort in that.
Yeah. So, hey, but are you allowed to bring the little dog when you visit, when we were visiting?
Actually, I do. I was, when I was able to visit, I would bring her, and she was a hit with all the nursing home residents. For those of you that can't see her, she's my 3.5-pound long coat chihuahua. And I had a little old World War II vet that kept threatening to steal her. He was trying to figure out how to put her in the pocket of his walker and take her. But I have one of the things that, since you brought up dogs, one of the things that really concerned my dad was what to do about his dogs. Uh-huh. He loved his dogs. He had two. He has a black lab Great Dane mix and a border collie mix.
Okay.
And he didn't know what to do with them. So we're like, Dad, it's okay. We'll take the dogs. They can live with us. We at this time now have 5 dogs, but they live with us and they are able to visit. I call the nursing home and say, I'm bringing the dogs, and they usually stay for about an hour, but the nurse meets us at the aide meets us at the door, takes the dogs back. They get to see my dad and spend time. And then I call and say, here I come. And they bring the dogs back.
Oh, really? They do this during the pandemic? Or
yes.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Well, that's creative and fun. Yeah.
You know what? It is, because that's, Dad says over and over, that's what he misses, you know, probably the most, are the dogs. He said, I really, really miss my dogs. And so I bring the dogs in.
Wow. Found a way. So, that's great. Now, I know I have had the conversation, you know, I wish I had about $100 for every time I had the conversation, because then I could really buy something pricey, like a car. With an older person that says, I don't want to be a burden to my family. I don't want to have to receive help. I don't want to have people do stuff for me. And I assure them again that there's a busload of people who wish they had the chance to do this. And what would you say to somebody? Because, you know, this older person who is, this is where they're at. They're struggling with this idea.
My dad was very much that way, very much that way. And he apologizes, or he would say, oh, you know, I don't know what I'd do without you. You know, you've just given, you know, you've done so much, whatever. And it's like, no, you haven't. That's what family does. There were times when I was, you know, when I was working where I needed, my daughter had a lot of breathing issues. And whenever she'd get sick, it went immediately to her lungs. And I can't tell you how many times my dad, I'd call and say, hey, Devin's sick again. And Dad would drive on out and pick her up and, you know, spend the day. That's what people do. I remind him of that. Do you remember how many times you know, helped with Devin, or you helped with Dominic? I said, that's what families do. Yeah. You just jump in and help.
That's right. I think also as God walks us through our life, we can sometimes make a mistake. I think men might be even more prone to this, that we are measured by how useful we can be to other people. You know,
yes.
I can help. I can come and fix your car. I can, you know, do this repair on your house. I can write you a check. I can drive somebody somewhere. And now that's good. I mean, you know, live your life to serve and give to others. But at some point for some of us, we need taught the lesson that we're valuable, even if we can't do any of those things.
Well, and I think for my dad, the World War II vet that kept trying to steal my dog, he needed his food cut up. My dad sat at the table with him before the pandemic and would cut his food for him. And that gave my dad, if we had to leave and we weren't going to, you know, like for an appointment and we weren't going to be there when Ernie needed his food cut, dad would stop and say, I can't cut your food today. He would make, I would have to wheel him over to, you know, his room so that he knew somebody else would have to cut his food. Mm-hmm. Because there was that purpose that this is what I have to do. And we also tried to tell dad that since he was at the nursing home, he was able to check on mom. He was able to keep us updated on mom's condition and if she needed anything. And so we wanted to give him a purpose that way. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's something that nursing homes could do a better job with, like whether they teach them how to knit or crochet and just do things for, you know, the babies in NICU or the homeless shelter. And I know sometimes it's a matter of funding. The nursing home doesn't have the money to buy all the supplies they could do. But that would be something too that would give the residents, you know, a feeling of purpose.
Oh, absolutely. I have friends in an assisted living in Minerva, and a couple of projects came across their radar that the church was doing, and you know, sometimes it'd be like food ministry, and they would stop me after you know, say that regular nursing home service I did, and say, now we want to help. We didn't come here just to leave in a box. We're still doing stuff. We live here. We live in the community. and they insisted that they have a part to play, and they would, you know, they would put solid effort behind it. And we had some great little partnerships, you know, to.
And I think it's easy for us to forget about them and some of the experiences that they have.
Yeah.
You know, that they could actually still be useful, and they want to still be useful, but sometimes they get shut off and don't get to.
Yeah. And I guess I would go that at some point we have to come to grips with what is God showing us when somebody is an object of care pretty much only. You know, that's all they are. Because, you know, the world has different answers for that. In other words, these people are disposable. They don't, you know, why do they live? The world doesn't have a real great answer to that. Now, but God puts people in our lives to give us places to show compassion. And again, to probably teach us all that we aren't measured just by what we can do. We naturally, as you said, you know, we thrive if we have a sense of purpose. And in fact, our sense of purpose is probably part of our image of God. I mean, there's a great deal of activity in the squirrels in my backyard, but I don't think they go around saying, I have a great sense of purpose this morning, you know, just to, but we need that. We need that more than just, you know, but we also have people put in our way who are helpless in very significant ways. And that also is a profound lesson for individuals and for our community. You know, these also are part of the community that God gave us. So I think about those, that sort of thing, and sometimes say it well, sometimes say it poorly, but yeah, it's where I come up. Well, we've had a wonderful conversation. We're probably nearing the time where we could expect any reasonable person would probably listen this long, but not too much longer.
Oh, come on. You're not, it's not like totally scintillating.
No, I just assume that the half hour-ish is about it for.
Yeah.
It's as long as a walk. You take a nice walk, listen to the podcast, and, you know, and then both end at about the same time. So, Diane, did you have anything else you wanted to share?
No, just. I don't know. I just guess that I really am thankful that I still have my parents, although my mom is really struggling and my dad is beginning to really struggle now. But it's been a real blessing when I hear other people say, you know, how their parents have been gone for, you know, 10 years, 15 years, and I still have the opportunity to see them and give them hugs, hold their hand. Just the little things. And I think I'm blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. And truly we are when we have this, and there are some aspects of living even with the Alzheimer's and that we might remember that you're, you know, there are beautiful things about people that they haven't lost so often, you know, if they enjoy the same music or light up at the same kind of even faces they can't put a name to. And hey, knowing what day of the week is overrated, it's, you know, knowing what day of the week it is not everything, or being able to balance a checkbook is only one aspect of among many of life. Kindness, compassion, and just, you know, laughter are way more valuable. So I think we're going to close, but I think it'd be good to close in prayer for a prayer of compassion for our elderly relations and their caregivers. So how about we pray? So Father, just do ask that today would be a day of grace. We know during the pandemic, so many of the older folks are cut off in significant ways from their families. And for these that are caregivers, these families who have responsibility for them, people who have their parents at home, just ask this be a day of strength and joy for them. And we just thank and bless you, Lord, for the people you've put in our lives that we can love. And ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. Just say goodbye.
Thanks for having me. See ya.
Goodbye. And we thank you for being part of our Walking with Jesus podcast. And just make sure, friends, to check in again for some more conversations with people here at Broadway United Methodist Church. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.